Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We'll read verse 1. And John says, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb." John speaks here of one of the seven angels has brought him to a vision. The vision actually began back in chapter 21, where John was brought to a very high mountain, and he saw the holy city of God, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God, full of the brilliance and the glory of God. And in chapter 21, John saw this city in all of its brilliance, its foundation stones, its walls, its gates, all of it filled with the glory of God. And then the vision of the heavenly city continues now into chapter 22. And here the vision of the city becomes the vision of a paradise in which there is a river flowing and a tree of life bearing its fruit among all the nations. And all who are here drink freely from the water and the tree of life. The holy city here has a garden in the very center of it, and God and the Lamb sit on the throne. And this paradise in chapter 22 is an allusion to the first Garden of Eden. And in that first Garden of Paradise, there was a river flowing, and there was the tree of life, but all of that paradise was lost by the sin of Adam. But in this second final, eternal paradise, this garden is restored by Christ, and it is an eternal garden of paradise which can never be lost because sin and the devil are banished from it forever. In the first garden, only Adam and Eve lived. Only Adam and Eve could drink from that river and eat from that tree. But here in this eternal garden of paradise, there is a great multitude of all the nations may eat freely, drink from the river, and eat freely from the tree of life. Verse 1 is our verse for this morning. John is brought to see the throne of God and the Lamb. And the angel shows him the river coming from that throne. There are four things that we can see here. And the first is that this river contained the water of life. A river of the water of life. The nature of that river. The second thing that we can see is the purity and the cleanness of this river. That it was clear as crystal. The third thing that we can see is the great abundance of this water, that it was a river that flowed from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And the last thing that we can also see here is the source from which this river flowed, which was the throne of the great God and of the Lamb. As we come to this verse this morning, several things we should note. The first is that we remember that John here is in a vision, which means that he speaks figuratively of spiritual and heavenly realities, but he must speak of them with earthly words and images so that we may understand even a little. The angel has brought him in the Holy Spirit to the top of this great and high mountain, to the pinnacle of the revelation, and heaven is opened to John. And John is brought to the very throne of God. And he sees glorious things from that throne, which no man is permitted to see in this present life. There are things that he sees that are incomprehensible and far beyond our present capacity to understand. And so it must be shown to him in a vision. He speaks of heavenly and spiritual realities in earthly words, so that we may have some dim view of the things that are above. He says in verse 1, "The angel showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb." The second thing that we should note here is that John is speaking of present realities. It is true, he speaks of the future state of the church in the world to come. But at that same time, the river of the water of life that comes from this throne of God is not just future, but it is past, it is present, and it is forever. The throne of God is eternal, and the God who sits on that throne is unchanging, immutable in all of his character, and the Lamb is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. And so the river that John saw flowing from that throne is the eternal river of all the enjoyment, the peace, the happiness of God in heaven. It has flowed among the three persons of the Trinity for eternity. But here it flows out from his throne in this great river, and it has flown, it has come down from heaven to the earth from the beginning of time, past, present, and future. We see the present reality in a couple of verses. If we look at verse 16 and 17 here in chapter 22. In verse 16, Jesus speaks. He said, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root of I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." So Jesus here is speaking to the churches, and everything that he is testifying is to the churches which are presently on the earth. And then he says in verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take from the water of life without cost." We have two invitations in this verse. The first is from the Spirit and the church, the bride. And they both cry to the Lord Jesus, "Come, return in your second coming, and come quickly." And then we have the invitation of the gospel to sinners on earth. "And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life, let him come as well, without any cost, without any money, without any labors." In other words, this is a present gospel invitation to sinners on earth to come and drink from this water, because this river is presently flowing in heaven. We see the same thing back in chapter 21, in verse 6. Chapter 21, in verse 6, "And he said to me," this is God in heaven speaking from his throne, God the Father, "it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life." God the Father here speaks from his throne. He declares that he is the unchanging, eternal God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then he promises that he will give from this river of the water of life to anyone who is thirsty, and to anyone who will come and drink. So chapter 22, we have the present invitation of Jesus. Here in chapter 21, we have the invitation of God the Father. And the promise of the invitation is that anyone who wishes to come and drink, anyone who is thirsty, may come and drink from this river, because this river has always been flowing from the very beginning of time, and it still continues to flow, and it will flow into all eternity. This is the river that all believers taste from in this present life. And John here is brought in this vision to the very source of all this water. He is brought to the beginning, to where this river flows from. And heaven is open to him, and John sees this river flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And it is the river of the water of life, clear as crystal. So when we look at verse 1, perhaps we have always thought of it as future. It is future, but it is not just future. It is past, it is present, and it is future for eternity. Whatever the difference may be between the present and the future, this is what always has been and always will be, and this is what is right now in heaven. There is a river of the water of life that is clear as crystal, and it is flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So the first thing we want to see is, what is this water of life that John speaks of here? The water of life is the Holy Spirit of life, with all of his gracious influences and the power, the blessings, and the graces of the Holy Spirit flowing from the throne of God. The Holy Spirit is often spoken of in the Bible under the image of water. The Old Testament prophets spoke of this in this way. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, God said, "I will pour out water on thirsty ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring." Zechariah said the same thing. "I will pour out the spirit of grace and supplication." And Joel spoke of the coming spirit. "I will pour out my spirit," God said, "on all mankind," which came to its fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. So the great promise of the Old Testament prophets was that when the Messiah came, the Messiah would come with the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness and all of his abundance. Jesus spoke of this to the Samaritan woman at the well. He said to her, "If you drink from the water that I will give you, it will become in you a well springing up to eternal life." The water that he spoke, the living water, is the water of the Holy Spirit. So all of the scripture would agree that this water that John saw is the water of the Holy Spirit. But it was not just any kind of water. It is the water of life. Not just that there is life in this water, but this water is life. This is life-giving water. This is water that gives life to all who drink from it, because all life comes from the throne of God. We speak here not just of physical life. We speak of spiritual life. We speak of eternal life. We speak of life as it is truly meant to be. We lost life in the Garden of Eden. We have lost it by our sin. But here, the water of life by the Holy Spirit flows down from heaven to give life again to sinners, to bring them into spiritual and eternal life. This is a water of life that flows from the throne of God, all of its life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible often speaks of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of life. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8, "The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death." Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 and 12, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Resurrection life is from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. So this water of life that comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb is the life-giving power and flow of the Holy Spirit. Some say we have the Trinity here. Then others say they don't like that because it gives us a picture of the Trinity in our minds, and God is incomprehensible, and so we should not really have a picture of the Trinity in our minds. I make no argument with both sides. We have the throne of God and of the Lamb, and we have the water of the Holy Spirit flowing from that throne. There is a passage that can help us in regard to the Spirit of life that comes to sinners. We can turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in this chapter, Paul contrasts the old and the new covenants. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. Paul says, "You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." Paul speaks of the Corinthians here as letters because of their conversion, because of their new life. He says that they are known and they are read by all men. And in the beginning of verse 3, it is manifested that they are a letter of Christ. In other words, Christ is the one who has written them as letters. And He has written in their hearts to make them His own letters. The question is, how did Christ write upon their hearts? And how did He make them His letter? And the answer is found in the middle of verse 3, with the Spirit of the living God. That's what Christ did. He wrote upon their hearts with the Spirit of the living God, and He made them His own letter. The contrast then is between letters written with ink and those written with the Spirit of the living God. He says, "You are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, a letter not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." So men write letters with ink, and the letters that men write with ink are perishable, and their letters can be deleted, and they disappear. But when a letter is written by the Spirit of the living God, that letter lives forever, because it is written by the Spirit of the God who lives forever. And the Spirit, the eternal Spirit who flows with life, comes and writes an imperishable letter by regeneration and new life in the hearts of sinners, and we become letters of Christ. The letters of men perish, but the letters of Christ are eternal. Then at the end of verse 3, he speaks of the contrast between tablets of stone and tablets of human hearts. These letters are written, he says, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. The contrast is between the law of God given at Mount Sinai to Moses. God wrote the laws on the tablets of stone. and the letters that are written by Christ, by the Spirit on the tablets of human hearts. The law was external. The law could never save. The law could never bring life. The law could only expose human sinfulness. But here we have a letter written by the Spirit of Christ on the tablets of human hearts. And this letter written on the tablets of human hearts changes the human hearts. So there is new life. So there is new desire and power from Jesus by the living Spirit, so that men are able to walk in God's laws. It is not an abrogation of the law. It is not a change of the law. It is the same law in the Ten Commandments, but it is now written inwardly on the tablets of human hearts with new life and new power to walk in those laws. So all that Paul is saying here in this passage is really a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. Jeremiah chapter 31, God said, I will make a new covenant. And this is the covenant that I will make, he said. I will put my law within them. And he said, and on their hearts I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ezekiel chapter 36, God said, I will give them a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to keep my ordinances. So this is all the writing of Christ on the tablets of human hearts to change them. And Paul picks up this thought again down in verse 6. He says, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter of the law can only kill and put men to death. Those who seek to live by the law, those who seek to keep the law, will find death in the end. The law only kills. But the Spirit gives life, because he is the life-giving Spirit, the water of life that flows from the throne of God down to this earth and gives this new life to come to men. And so the promise is that all who come and drink from this water of life in Christ will find this grace, this new power and help by the Spirit to live according to the Word, because the Spirit of God always gives life. So this is the characteristic of the Holy Spirit, that he is the Spirit of life. And what happens when we come back to we're going to stay in 2 Corinthians, but back in Revelation chapter 22, that river that flows from the throne of God, it flows down and creates this new life within. But water gives or has another quality and nature to it, which is that water can cleanse away filth and uncleanness. It is the nature of water to clean. The Old Testament priests were told to wash themselves, to sprinkle clean water upon themselves, purifying water, and God said they shall be clean. Ezekiel 36 and verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And so God said, I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. That's what water does, God says. And the water that we speak of here is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit has this cleansing and purifying power. The Spirit gives life. But then the Spirit comes and purifies. And the Spirit cleans in the hearts of men to purify them from all of their filthiness and from all of their idols in this world. The great work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification, which is cleansing and purifying of the heart. This is what Jesus is doing in his church right now by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. The word and the water of the Spirit are cleansing the church right now. Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 3 and spoke of the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out richly upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So sin defiles us, and our old nature of sin is still within us, remaining. And yet the Holy Spirit, the great work of the Spirit, is to come as the water of cleansing to purify and to wash us of all of our sins. And this is what Paul speaks of down in this chapter in verse 17 and 18. In verse 17, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord Jesus, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So Paul here is speaking of the great work of sanctification. And this work of sanctification is a transformation in which we are remade, made new into, increasingly into the image of Jesus Christ, being transformed into the same image of Christ from glory to glory. And this transformation is taking place in every Christian, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Two times in verse 17, he mentions the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit, or the ministry of the Lord Jesus is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord Jesus is, there is liberty. Then again at the end of verse 18, he mentions the Holy Spirit again, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So this work of sanctification, this work of transformation, this work of cleansing, this work of purifying our hearts into the image of Christ is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is a work of that river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God. The Spirit gives life back in verse 6. But now the Spirit sanctifies us and changes us into the image of Christ in verse 18. In the previous verses, Paul spoke about Moses going up on the mountain. And when he came down from the mountain, his face would shine. There was a glory about his face. But that glory always faded. But Paul says here in this work of sanctification, there is a glory upon us that never fades, but it only increases, because it goes from glory unto glory, from one stage of glory unto another stage, until we are finally brought into the eternal glory. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in this present life. We may state it this way, that the great work of the Holy Spirit in this present age, the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God, the great work is to bring us to glory, to restore the glory that was lost by the fall, to create glory within us again, so that we will not fall short ultimately of the glory of God in heaven, to transform us into the glory of Christ, to glorify us together with Jesus, to bring us finally to that river that flows from heaven. We with unveiled face are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Peter called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of glory, because the Holy Spirit comes from glory. The Holy Spirit works glory in us, and the Holy Spirit will perfect that glory as he brings us finally into that eternal world of glory above. So now we can turn back to Revelation chapter 22. The Spirit of life is the Spirit of cleansing and purification, and the Spirit of glory. And so Revelation 22 and verse 1, John says, "And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb." We've seen what John was shown in the vision, that it was the water, the river of the water of life. But then the second thing we see now more briefly is the purity, the cleanness of this river, found in the words clear as crystal. Clear as crystal. Some Bibles translate it bright as crystal, because it seems to speak of a light that shone from the water, clear as crystal, bright as crystal. The God who said, "Let there be light," now commands light to shine out of this river that flows from his throne. Crystal is a stone that is clear and one can see through. The river here is very clear. God says to us here, look down into this river, to the very bottom of this river, and as deep as this river is, it is only clear, and you may see to the very bottom. The idea here is that there is no corruption, there is no filth, no foulness, or any pollution or filth of any kind ever to be found in this river. It is a river of perfect purity. It is a river of clarity, cleanness, and whiteness. There is no mixture of anything from earth, because anything from earth would defile this river, and there is nothing of man that is found in this river, because everything of man would stain the river. This is a divine river. This river comes only from heaven. It comes from the throne of God and of the Lamb, and so it must be clear as crystal in its purity and in all of its cleanness. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish, or any such thing, but this is water that is clear as crystal. And this is what we need as sinners. If we would be cleansed and we would be purified, we need, in all the filth of our sin, to come to a river that is pure and clean and clear as crystal and able to wash away and cleanse the impurities and the defilements that are in us. And then the third thing we can see here is the quantity of this water of life, the great abundance of this river. It is found in the word river. "And he showed me a river of the water of life." Not a trickle, not a stream, or a little brook that flowed, but it was a river of the water of life. A river that is broad and deep and massive in its flow. a mighty, abundant, overflowing supply from this river that has no end and no diminishing of the water of life from it. We have great rivers on the earth. They have flowed for hundreds and hundreds of years. But here is a river that flows for eternity, because the God who is on the throne and his beloved Son are eternal. And this is a majestic river, clear as crystal. It will never diminish or be lessened in its abundance. It is a river that is full of life. It is a river that is filled with power. It is a river of mercy and love and grace, and all the blessings and the riches of eternal life. It is a river that is most plentiful, unsearchable, unfathomable in its depths. And it is a river that has flowed forever from the throne of God down to this world. It is the river that Ezekiel saw in chapter 47, where he saw the river flowing from the temple. And it was a small river at first. And he went out, and the river became deeper and deeper. He went out, and it became up to his ankles. And he went out further, it became up to his knees. Then he went out further, and it went up to his waist. Then he went further, and it was a river that he could swim in, until finally it was a river that he could not cross. And it was a great river that flowed over all the earth. And wherever this river flowed, it brought life. It was the same river that John saw, the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God. So everything that we have seen here, the river of life, the water of life, the spirit of life, this life-giving water that flows from heaven, the purity of this river in all of its cleanness, clear as crystal, and the great abundance of this river as a great river that flows, it all makes sense when we consider the source from which this river came. And it came from the throne of God. It comes from his eternal, unchanging throne in heaven. And it has always flowed in all of its abundance, its purity, and its life-giving power. So we have several applications to us this morning as we close. And the first is that all of our needs of grace and help in this present life can only be met from this river. Through the long and dark history of human sin and rebellion, this river has always flowed from heaven down upon the saints of the earth. It has always been doing its work, the Spirit doing his work of sanctification, cleansing, life-giving power, and bringing the saints into glory. Through all the ages of the church, from the fall forward, the patriarchs were all those who drank from this river. Abraham was brought into the promised land, but he was looking to the heavenly city, and he was drinking from this river that flowed from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then we have Isaac, and we have Jacob, and we have Joseph in all their various trials and troubles that they passed through. And then we have Job in his great afflictions. Where could these men find help in every time of need? By going to this river of life, of the water of life that continually flows from the throne of God in heaven. Then we pass through the long centuries of the Old Covenant, to the time of Pentecost and the age of the church. Onward to the very end of time. Where will the saints go to drink and find their needs met from this river that always flows in its abundance, in its life-giving power and grace? Whatever the needs of the saints have been, whatever troubles, whatever afflictions, whatever needs, this is where they must always go. Whatever aid we receive from heaven, whatever help, whatever strength, whatever sanctification takes place within us, whatever light and illumination, whatever truth we have within us, whatever graces, whatever fruits of the Holy Spirit, whatever we have within us that is good, this is where it has all flowed from. From this river of the water of life, clear as crystal, from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And we have different needs at different times of our life. One stage of life, we have one need. We have need of one kind of grace. At another time in life, we have need of another kind of grace. So we need fresh and ever new supplies of grace. We do not need a stagnant lake or sea to drink from. We need a river that is always flowing with refreshment and fresh new streams of grace, because our need of grace is always changing, and we need ever new grace from the water of life. How dry and barren our souls are by nature, by ourselves. How dry, how dusty, how dead our souls are by themselves. And how scorched is this world of the wilderness that we live in. We are empty cisterns without this water. And this world is a desert land that has no water in it. And where can we bring our thirsty souls but to this river of the water of life? We grow tired and weary. Sometimes we walk in darkness, and there are dangers around us, and there are troubles, and we faint. And our spiritual life seems to languish. What can we do? There is a river that always flows from heaven with all of the refreshment and the water we need for our thirsty souls. How many other rivers are there in this world all around us? There are many rivers in this world. All of them crying to us to come and drink. To come and drink from me. Drink from my river, says the world, and I will satisfy your thirst. But go and drink from those rivers, and your thirst will only increase. And you will never be satisfied in your soul. Rivers of the lusts of the flesh. Rivers of the lusts of the eyes. Rivers of the boastful pride of life. Rivers of pleasure and riches and the things that money can buy. Rivers of entertainment. Rivers of amusement. Rivers of adventures. rivers of the internet and all that can be found there, the love of the world and the praises of men, all the rivers that flow around us in this present life. And they are all counterfeit rivers because they promise that they will quench our thirst, but they never can. And they are foul rivers, and they are rivers of corruption, and they are rivers that have dangers in them, and they are poisonous rivers, and they can do harm to our souls. And the sad thing is that too many Christians go and drink from those rivers, and they miss this great river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The more you drink from those rivers, the less you will drink from this river. You cannot have two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. You cannot have two masters at the same time. You cannot drink from two rivers at the same time in your soul. You must determine, what river will I drink from? Will I drink from the rivers of deception in the world? Or will I drink from the rivers, the river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb? There is only one river that is clear as crystal. There is only one river of the water of life. And it is this river that John speaks of here. And so this river, we must always be going to this river and drinking. We must always be going with our thirst, with all of our defilements to be cleansed, with all of our needs to be washed, to be purified, to be filled again. This river is always flowing, and we must always be going to it. The Apostle Paul said, "Wretched man that I am, who can set me free from the body of this death?" He was speaking of his remaining sin. He was an apostle. And then we have the temptations of the world all around us. And then we have the evil one, the devil, our adversary, always prowling about seeking someone to devour. And so where are wretched saints on earth with remaining sin and the temptations of the world and the devil against them? Where are they to go to find strength and help in every time of need? And the answer is only here, to this river of the water of life. The second thing we can say is that the vision that John sees here, this is a vision, but it is a reality. And there really is the throne of God and of the Lamb and life in heaven. And this is the home of all believers when we die. John was taken up to see the place where all believers go when they die. Jesus said, "He who believes in me shall live even if he dies." In other words, when we die, we go to this river of life and we drink forever at the throne of God, and we can never die. He who believes in me, even if he dies, he shall live at this river of the water of life, a place of eternal life where we will drink forever from this river of its purity, its cleanness, its holiness, clear as crystal. In all of its life-giving power, this is the life of heaven. For all eternity, it flows from this glorious river of abundance. And best of all is where it flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb who has taken away all of our sins on his throne. No wonder Paul could say, To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And no wonder he could say, I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Because that's what he would see when he came to see Christ in heaven. And then the last thing we say this morning is to unbelievers that this river of the water of life is open for you to come and drink. You have no real life in this world. All that you drink from are empty cisterns. Rivers of death, rivers that will perish. The only way for you to have life is to come to Jesus and to begin to drink from the water of life from him. There is no other way. It is given without cost. It is given without any works. It is given freely, not on the basis of anything that you will do. It is a river that is opened. There are no barriers that guard it from anyone coming. There are no fences around it to keep anyone out. This river is open freely. And sinners are invited to come. Let the one who is thirsty, let him come. Let the one who hears, let the one who wishes to drink, let him come. But you must be thirsty in your soul, tired of drinking from the dead rivers of this world, and desiring to come and drink of the water of life. The invitation is open to all to come. But if you do not come in this life, then you will never drink of this river of the water of life. Children, what should you do? You should come quickly. You should come today to the waters of life in Jesus Christ, because all the rivers of the world are out there. And they are coming for you. And they want your souls. And they want you to come and drink from the world and all of its rivers of death and corruption and sin. And today you should come to Jesus to drink once and forever from this river of the water of life that flows from the throne of God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the eternal river that flows from your throne in heaven. It has always flowed from the very beginning to your saints in every time of trouble, in every time of need. Thank you that all of our comfort, all of our peace, all of our hope and strength and grace can be found in this river. Thank you that every need we have comes from your throne in heaven. We ask you to bless your word to us. Have mercy upon us. Take away the darkness, the blindness, the dimness that remains in us, and help us to see something of this glorious river of the water of life, clear as crystal. Lord, give life to those who are dead. Take away their blindness. Give them eyes to see. And give them hearts to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask your help now and your blessing upon your word. In Jesus' name, Amen.